You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Outdoor Edge in their complete lineup of knives and game processing kits. These guys right now are doing an absolutely huge giveaway where you could win an elk hunt, and not just any elk hunt. We're talking about a 7 or 8 mile horseback ride into the backcountry. We're talking a one-on-one guided hunt. You're going to be sleeping in a wall tent, and you're going to be doing that for 5 days with the founder and CEO of Outdoor Edge, David Block. Now, if you've never been on an elk hunt before, I'm telling you right now, go sign up for this, because if you ever hear a elk bugle, whether it's at 400 yards or it's at 40 yards, it is a life-changing experience. So here's how you enter. Go to OutdoorEdge.com. There's going to be a big banner for it somewhere on their homepage. All you have to do is click on that. Go fill out some information. I think your name, your email address, maybe some other stuff. And that's all you have to do. That's how you are entered. They're going to be picking a winner, a ways from now. So you have plenty of time to enter. Go visit OutdoorEdge.com. Sign up today. And if you decide to purchase any products from the website, enter the discount code NATION30. That's the word NATION with the number 30 after that. No spaces. NATION30. And you will receive 30% off your purchase.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. With me today are both Andy and Michael. What's up, fellas?
Howdy.
What's going on?
Today, we're kind of doing an episode we weren't really planning on, but we've had even more stuff happen since our last mid-season recap episode, so now we're going to do...
Rifle recap.
We're going to do like a rifle slash rut season recap. Talk about... I've had a good couple... I'm not going to lie, I've had a good 6 days. So we're going to kind of talk about that stuff, talk about what's been going on with Mike and Andy during
I'll go first. Ready? I'm done.
And we do have a special guest. Before we get going into our stuff, we have got one of Micah's good friends, Robin. Micah talked about his deer camp that he goes to every year. Mm-hmm. Robin's one of his good friends that owns some property up there that Micah hunts on. And Robin's son, Brooks, killed his first deer, yep. eight years old. And so
that's awesome.
It's exciting. Awesome Mike and deer. I get to talk to Brooks for a couple minutes about his first deer.
Yep. He gave us the story, and he did awesome. So
yeah. So before we get into us three talking about everything, you listeners are going to hear Brooks tell his story. And just enjoy that.
Like right after it happened on Facebook, correct?
Yeah, it's on our Facebook and Instagram. That kid that's his video's on there. That's Brooks. Super excited. And the way Micah says it, he tells the story the exact same way every time he tells it.
It was pretty funny because, like, you know, obviously different people come in through, you know, throughout the day and stuff, and everybody's like, "Hey, so what happened?" And he would, to the T, say exactly what he says, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. So enjoy that little short clip with Brooks before we get into our stuff, and then we'll get into it. So you guys want to start the show? You got anything else to add before we hop in?
Nope. Get to it.
All right. Enjoy it. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, we're excited. We got our buddy Brooks on the phone with us. Brooks, how's it going, man?
Good.
So for everybody listening, Brooks, how old are you?
8.
Brooks is 8 years old.
8 years old. This is the first year you were actually able to hunt, right? You were able to actually take your gun and shoot this year, correct?
Yep.
That's awesome.
So before we have Brooks tell the story, Micah, why don't you tell everybody how you know Brooks and, you know, what the relation with Deer Camp is with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Brooks is one of my good buddies' son. It's his second son. And I've known the family a long time. I ain't going to do the math on it. But, yeah, we've been going. I've been, like I said in the podcast before, I've been going up there since I was 16. So, you know, known them for a long time. And that's one of his farm is the farm that I hunt on mainly. But this year, Brooks, he was actually able to hunt, and he harvested one heck of a deer.
And his first one ever.
Yeah, first one. And did it all on his own with his dad right there beside him.
So. Yeah. So we thought it'd be really cool to have Brooks come on. Brooks's dad, Robin, was excited enough to let Brooks come on, and Brooks is going to tell us the story of his first deer ever.
Yep.
So are you excited to tell the story, Brooks?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear the story. Yep. Tell us what you did. And this was opening day last weekend on November 14th, correct?
When did you shoot it, Brooks? Was it Sunday? You shot it Sunday, right? Or was it Saturday?
I'm pretty sure it was Saturday.
Saturday evening, correct?
Yep.
All right.
All right. So, well, whenever you're ready, buddy, just tell that story.
So I woke my dad up because I kicked the wood in the deer stand, and he didn't want to go back to sleep because it was too windy. And he grabbed one and he digged through my bag and grabbed a candy, and he gave me two and he gives him two. And before he can put it in his mouth, he said the SH word and dropped his candy and handed me the gun and said, "Did you have a good shot on the buck?" And I said, "No, not yet," because he was going through some trees. Then I had a wide open shot when he was walking, and I shot him just behind the heart, and he jumped up and it stinged him. And I didn't want him to run too far, but because I didn't want to walk all the way down. So I shot him one more time, and I hit him, and I don't know about the third time if I hit him or didn't, but he dropped to the ground. And after that, my dad just said, "Nice job," and we didn't walk down there for about 10 minutes or 5 minutes, and then we finally got out of the stand and got in the buckshot and dragged all the way down there. But we didn't drive all the way down there yet. We actually went to go back. We tried to call some Skyler, and it didn't work. So we went all the way back to the shop, and my dad texted Skyler, and the text apparently went through. And a few minutes later, Skyler pulled up. After we went to go pick up cash and mom, and then we drove all the way down there, and I killed him right where all a bunch of briars were pointing at you. So we had to walk through all the briars and drag the deer out.
Did you help him? Did you help him drag it out, or did you make Uncle Skyler and Robin do it, or your dad?
I made them do it.
You made them do it. You're supposed.
Yeah.
Did they make you take a bite of the heart or anything? They rubbed some blood on your face or something?
No.
Oh, we're going to have to talk with Dad about that one.
So how excited – were you shaking real bad after you took that first shot?
Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to run, like, far.
No, but your dad said, and, I mean, we obviously saw the deer. You actually did – you made a really good shot. How far away was it? Do you remember?
Yep, 85 yards.
85 yards, perfect.
Awesome, buddy. How excited were you when you got to touch him for the first time?
It was kind of hard to believe that I actually shot a buck that big.
Yeah,
and he was one heck of a deer. How many points did he have?
13.
13 points. If I you remember what he scored? Not that it matters, but do you remember?
Yeah, 144.2.
144.2.
Look at that. You are ruined forever, kid.
I know. now Brooks here, he has an older brother. Mm-hmm. Last year, Cash got an 8 point, I believe it was. and he's got one this year. Have you been giving your older brother any crap about getting a bigger deer yet?
No, I haven't bragged about it yet.
You haven't bragged it? You probably shouldn't.
That's probably good.
Yeah, that might hurt big brother's feelings. But so awesome job, buddy. We just wanted to get you on here so everybody could hear that story. It was really cool. One more question before you leave. How often does your dad sleep in the stand whenever you guys are hunting? It's probably about every time, right?
He doesn't go to sleep that much. It's usually me and Cash going to sleep.
At least you're honest, buddy.
And for the listener, Robin's one of Micah's best friends, known him for years. And so this is Micah's opportunity to give Robin.
I can jab at him a hard little time. Bit. He can't say anything back.
That's pretty funny. But Brooks, we thought was going to be a great way for you to always remember the first deer you ever got to kill. And you get to have this recording for the rest of your life, and you'll always get to remember this story. And Micah, myself, and Andy, we just want to congratulate you on an awesome job, and you are a deer hunter for life. You are officially in the club, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, we know Brooks. Brooks, actually, you have some basketball practice tonight, right?
Yep.
Yep, so we're going to let you get off the phone and go get off to practice. But thanks for coming on, Brooks. We appreciate it.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yep, good job.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We love it.
Yep.
We'll see you, man. All right, hope you all enjoyed that little clip with Brooks. Congrats to him again.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Thanks to his dad, Robin, for letting him come on with us.
Yep.
I think it'll be cool that Brooks will get to always remember his first deer.
Yeah, it's be a good memory for him, for sure.
Sounds like he's got the story down pat.
He does. He's definitely practiced it a few times. Robin was telling me that he rehearsed it about 6 or 7 times in the truck on the way over.
So. And like me and Micah said in the little clip with him, he's in trouble the rest of his life. He's only 8 years old, and he's got a bar good high. Buck.
Yeah. He got a heck of a deer, so... Good for him.
And did a good job. So congrats to him again. Congrats to all the kids that have hopefully harvested something this last week.
Yep.
Or obviously during youth season as well. We are recording this episode on, it's a Sunday night. I know that, November 21st.
21st, I think.
So
22nd.
It's a November 22nd. So we're recording this a little bit before the end of rifle season. So there's always that off chance that something happens in the next 2 days, but
won't be me.
My biggest deer to date was killed the last day, the last couple minutes of rifle season.
Yeah, so definitely could have something happen, but we just got to get something in. So this is what we're doing here. We're trying to kind of finagle shows and figure out how to get stuff done. So this is a show that wasn't planned, but we decided to put it in because we have had quite a bit happen. And it ties in well with our mid-season recap.
Right.
So that's why. So for everybody listening that might have listened to our mid-season recap, we'll tie a little bow on Andy's
let's get that out of the
archery,
way.
Which there is some good news on that. But
I think.
So after our mid-season show, we went out and searched for him again.
We looked and we did everything we possibly could to find that deer. For those of you who don't remember, whatever I shot him in the shoulder, screwed up, choked, whatever you want to call it. Hit him in the shoulder.
Shit happens.
Yep. Unfortunately, I think if you bow hunt long enough, you're going to have those. Pretty upset about it still, but it is what it is. However, I've been looking for him very aggressively, and I am 99.9% sure that I've seen him twice now.
Yeah, since we've been searching for him.
Yeah, yep. Since I shot him with my bow, 2 weeks ago now.
So that's the one positive
he's still alive.
Yeah. I can't be 100% sure because both of them have been super far away. The deer had a slight limp, which gives a good indication, of course. And then I don't know if I described him or not. Has that flyer out the back?
Yeah,
but. I couldn't see the flyer, but I could tell on the deer that was out there. I mean, I'm looking at my binoculars 500-600 yards away at one point in time. You could tell there was something on one of his G2s. You couldn't see what, but you could tell there was an irregularity up there. So I'm 99% sure it is him. and it's just catching back up to him now.
That's good. I mean, if you're going to have that happen, which obviously you don't want to have happen, right. you wanted to make a clean shot and recover him. And yep. Honestly, when we left from recording our last episode to go search for him that night again, I thought we were going to find him.
Mm-hmm.
When we searched for him that afternoon, blood all of a sudden dried up, and I thought that the blood we were seeing was the right kind of blood, which mm-hmm. muscle blood and
yep.
you know, that heart blood and stuff like that look very similar. I was happy with the amount of blood we saw, and then it kind of dried up, but mm-hmm. I actually thought it had to do with the arrow more than anything, but
I'm going to tell you how tough of an animal those are, because I'll be honest with you, I hit shoulder on the doe I shot earlier this year.
Yeah.
Blew straight through it. And it wasn't the main part of the shoulder. I mean, I just kind of clipped it, but blew through it and actually out the other side. It went through and through a doe shoulder. This buck, obviously, twice the size of the doe.
Mm-hmm.
And I squared that shoulder up, and I think we went over what I was shooting. Again, I'm shooting 500 and roughly 30 grains, pulling 72, 73 pounds. You know, long arrow. About everything you can do to make that shot, equipment wise, I have it except for right. 600 grain. I mean, something crazy. So I was pretty optimistic. I had the right equipment to manage that missed shot, but wasn't the case. And 2 days left here, rifle, and then I'll go back out. And you know, things change late bow season.
Actually, for us hardcore bow hunters, I think stuff gets back to more normal.
Yeah.
I mean,
travel patterns, change back to what they were pre-rut. So now it's, you know, bedding food, you know, or it will be soon, you know, bedding food
still areas. Rutting and stuff like
that. Yeah, the rut's
still
not
bumping
over,
around.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's going to be, I don't know what you call it. I kind of call it a second rut where, mm-hmm. you know, there's those does that didn't get bred the first
late
time.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to get bred again. But, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying this part of the time of the year is magical. It's awesome. But sometimes for us hardcore bow hunters, it's also stressful because stuff just goes crazy.
Yep.
I mean, everything you've been doing is now out of the window, and it's time for you to start doing things differently. Or
yeah, start hunting does more than likely.
I mean, you
try to find the does, and hopefully something
I'm gonna call
comes checks
BS because I've seen about 30 does in the last 18 hours.
You know that they're not neat right now.
Yeah,
man.
But it's
and button bucks. The place I mainly hunt, I've seen more button bucks this year than I can ever recall. And I mean, I guess that's a good sign. I got a good buck crop coming. I don't know. But,
you check back in 4 years, buddies. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Seeing 4 years, hopefully 5 years.
I'd like to get somebody on to talk about that. One thing we've noticed up at one of the farms that I hunt obviously the rut every year, and then our does, they're all small. They're all yearling does, maybe 2 years or something. They're all small. We don't keep the mature does on our property, and I want to know why that is. It's like we're babysitting the babies while the moms go off and get, you know, and it's just kind of strange. I wonder if there's anything to that.
I'm sure it has to do with their core area and what they prefer to live in.
Right.
You know, I
do you guys do doe management up there quite a bit?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact,
let's roll into that real quick.
Mike managed the hell out of one.
I did harvest a doe yesterday evening, but that was actually on a different farm. It's one of the smaller ones, one of the smaller farms we got up there. But as far as the big farm that we hunt, the conservation does the management for us because they come in there and they do a cull every year. So we try not to take any does off that place. So,
yeah.
You know.
They still cull every year with CWD?
They still cull every year. There's certain, like our farm doesn't do it, and a few of the other farms that we talk to, they don't do it. But the conservation calls them up every year, and they want to know if they can come in and shoot deer off of us. And a lot of them don't, but some of the farmers that just don't care, they say, have at it, and they go out there.
Go out and have at it.
Kill as many deer as they can, you know, to do the testing and that sort of thing.
That's got to be a sinking feeling sometimes if you're hunting an area.
I don't agree with a lot of the things. I mean, some of the things that conservation does, I know in most part they're trying to do what they think's best, but I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that part.
Sure.
Of it.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'm with you. I mean, like I said, we've talked about that in our episode before. I think the Missouri Department of Conservation's one of the best in the country.
Right. Yep.
Doesn't mean I agree with every little thing, but yeah.
They do a lot of things right, and some things, you know, it just is what it is.
Yeah, we all have our opinions
and that's do. My opinion on that situation. So
that's all I got to say about that. Yeah,
So Mike, gonna stay with you though.
I'll just kind of start from the beginning,
because you've had where you go. So everybody, if you remember, Micah goes up to a deer camp.
Yeah,
we live in West Central Missouri.
Yeah,
and then every year Micah, since he's 16, goes up north several hours, with family, friends.
Yeah, it's mostly, I mean, there's a few families up there, and me and a few other guys that have just been friends of the family type thing. We go up there and been doing it for a long time, and a lot of us have had good success. Had some bad years too, but for the most part, it's been really good. This year, I'll just start out with Saturday opening morning. I sat in one stand, and I had my buddy Skyler. He was in a different stand, probably, I don't know, probably about 500 yards away, and I see a deer come out. So the first deer I saw all morning, it kind of started slow. I was like, man, because usually opening day there, you're going to see at least 10 deer, 20, you know, there's been days where you see 40 deer in one sit. But anyway, so this was the first one I saw, and he looked really good on his one side. I was like, that's the big eight, because we got a big eight up there on camera. And I was like, dude, that's the big eight. So I get my binoculars, and he's out in the field. I'm tucked in pretty much a seasonal creek timber area, and I couldn't get a great look at him. So I'm not going to say I passed him, because that'd be taken away from what Skyler did. But I never got a good enough – I never would have had a good enough shot to feel comfortable, and I never got to get good enough glass on him to actually find out.
Good enough confirmation.
Right. I didn't – yeah, so – but anyway, so I was actually in contact with one – Belzer, Robin, and I was like, well, I just don't know about him. And then I'm like, he's walking towards Skyler. We're going to find out here in about 10 seconds if he likes him or not. And then, like, about 10 seconds later, bang. So I get a hold of Skyler, and he says, hey, I got a good shot. And so I actually went over there, and we recovered his deer. And, I mean, he was a stud.
That's a good deer.
Yeah, really good deer. I wish I would have had a better look at him. I'm a little jealous.
Mike is upgrading binoculars next year.
No, well, that's no kidding.
And then not only did, you know, Skyler, by the way, congrats, dude.
Yeah, heck of a deer.
You know, then Brooks, the young man we just had on.
There was a total of nine bucks killed. Nine or ten, I can't remember. A lot of deer between the, you know, our little deer camp that we have. There was nine bucks killed, I'm pretty sure. So we had a really successful year, a lot of good deer. And three of them, one of the smaller farms, it's 80 acres. We got three bucks off of it, and my doe off that one farm. Nice. And some of them we never seen before. So it was pretty good. And then, it was a fun year.
You weren't in the right place at the right time.
Right.
You
know. And I mean, we kind of knew going in this year that we didn't have as many good mature deer like we have in the past. So I kind of knew it was going to be an off year, but there's always that hope that something's going to come by that, you know, that's out of its core area. And, you know, it just wasn't my year for it.
It's cool for the listener to know. And once again, we don't judge anybody for the way they do stuff, right. But you all try to adhere to kind of I'll call it a management plan where you try not to shoot younger deer.
Mm-hmm. Years past, it was we tried not to shoot anything lower than 140. This year, we bumped it up to 145. And to be honest, I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing. It is what it is, but we've only had two of the deer that got killed, I'm pretty sure, are the only ones that met that criteria. And that was on kind of a completely different farm, different management and sort of thing.
That met or didn't meet?
All the other ones didn't meet. Really? 145.
And they were close, though.
They were close. They were really close, though.
It's so hard to judge right off. You got to make decisions. Like, you're talking about looking through binoculars, trying to figure, is that 140, 145?
And for me, every damn buck I ever see is like, that's a freaking 200-inch deer.
No.
I mean, I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly how I was this year. You know, because you always, whenever they're in the back of the truck, everybody's saying, oh, that's that and that's that. I was off terribly this year. We had three killed opening day. So we had three of them in the truck that evening or whatever. And I was off by 12 inches on one. I was off by 10 inches on one. I was off by like six on the other. I mean, it was just a weird year. So
yeah.
I think
we all were, because you sent us some pictures whenever that happened. Like, oh, that thing's a stud. That thing's 160 plus, 170. He's like, no, that was 150.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And pictures can be deceiving.
Pictures are really deceiving.
We were just talking about this before we started recording on to this on your story, Andy. But, you know, you see a picture and you're like, oh, that, I think this might be that. But, I mean, it just depends on the angle. It depends on, you know, the backdrop, where the person's sitting in relation to the deer sometimes.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of folks out there that do a great job of extending,
and everybody does,
you know,
it.
I've probably done it a time or two myself.
I think it's just fun to do. To look while also looking.
Have you seen some of the pictures, like people just gagging on people, where the guy is like 20 feet back and he's just like in the
looks like a little toy soldier holding up the.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Those are funny.
Yeah. But anyways, it was a really good year. Good year. Got to see a lot of deer. Had a great time with everybody. You know, it's always fun getting to see those people that you only get to see a few times a year. It was a good time. You know,
and you went back up this weekend.
I went back up this weekend. This weekend it was kind of slow. I kind of backed away from some of the other farms because some other family came in. We just, you know, running out of spots. But one of my other good buddies that actually I started going up there with, Swisegood, I hunted his farm for a few times because he was actually out of town for a wedding. So I was able to hunt that farm. And that's that one. I sent that video that had those three does.
You're pinned down?
Oh. I was doe hunting that day, right? I was like, I want to get my doe out of the way. And me, like an idiot, I just go up there and I didn't want to sit in the stands that we had set up there. So I was like, I'm just going to go lean up against these trees. Lean up against a tree, had the other one. I had my gun leaning against another tree, and I'm expecting them to come out further down, and then all of a sudden I just look to my right and she is right there. I'm like, oh crap, what do I do? And she's got me pinned down, and so I'm just steady as a rock. And surprisingly, they hung around for at least 5 minutes. Like, it was, I was able to get that video, obviously, but there was no way I was going to be able to reach my gun and get a shot off. So it was still pretty cool.
Just watch them. Then you got one the next day anyway, or that night.
No, Saturday night? That was Friday morning. Cause I took off and that was Friday morning, Friday night, not much action. I saw some does, but it wouldn't have been a good shot. And then, Saturday morning, I saw two little scrub bucks, and then I got that doe Saturday evening. So
meat in the freezer,
and it was right there at last light, you know. So
meat in the freezer, baby.
Oh yeah, no, it was good. She's a good sized doe. Happy to take her. She's all cut up right now, actually, in my cooler in the truck. So
outside.
Yeah, nice. Right now. So probably tomorrow I'll get her all butchered up a little more and get some meat on the smoker and do some jerky and other things.
So next episode we'll have some jerky.
Yeah.
That's what I just heard. That's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
Well, as long as I remember to grab that dehydrator.
Yeah, so. Dehydrator's in my basement right now.
Yeah. So, Andy, you want to fill it? So we're caught up till rifle season with you. How's your rifle season been?
Rifle season's been rough for me.
Stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking a little bit.
Yeah. You put a lot, at least I feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself, I guess, during rifle season. If I don't get done in bow season, you know, time's ticking. I've hunted a lot in the last 3 weeks. I mean, a lot. Opening day. Let's see. I'm trying to think which day it was. Opening day, the neighbor killed one of the bucks that I passed with my bow at about 10 yards. Then that night, that same neighbor, which I think is...
Can we stop and go back to that?
Go ahead.
You asked all of us. Well, now, you know, now I'm mad, right? Because he got killed and I passed on him. I should have just shot him, blah, 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 right? This is a perfect spot for, like, the listeners to really understand, too, that if you're in that situation, what do we all say to you? You still made the right choice, right?
I believe at one point in time you said, just shot him, stupid.
I don't think I said that. Well, I might have. Yeah. I like to give you a hard time. But, you know, if you're adhering to a management plan, right, and you're trying to shoot mature deer, it might not necessarily always be a huge rack. I mean, most of the time a mature deer is going to have a larger rack, but
right.
You were pretty sure the deer that you passed on was probably 3.5.
He was 3.5, maybe 4.5.
And so you decided to pass on him with your bow.
Right.
And obviously
it was a borderline pass for me with my bow. Like, I'm not blaming the neighbor at all.
Oh, no.
It's good deer. I need to find out what he scored, if he scored him. But, and that neighbor, come to find out, he actually was only hunting that day. He was leaving. I take that back. He had that weekend to hunt. He left Monday morning to go work in South Carolina or South Dakota, one of the two, mm-hmm. South something. And so that was all the time he had. So
and that's perfectly fine. That's his. I mean, it's his decision to make, right? Yep. I've always said it's your damn tag. You use it the way you want to.
Yep.
But I think the point I'm trying to make to you is, if you made the decision to pass on him, then that's the right decision. Oh, yeah. Still, I mean, you can't control what's going to happen on other places, and unfortunately that deer walked the wrong direction and got it on opening morning. But, you know, that was the first thing you saw as one was down. And
That was down. And then, like I said, his dad killed another one that we passed over on that farm that same day, which is fine. Again, it teach their own.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically opening weekend in a nutshell. I passed a couple okay deer at the time. I mean, they're 8 points, probably 120s, 130s for the most part. Just not what I'm looking for. I think younger deer. There was one 8 point. Well, then I guess I'll back up. I started hunting in the mornings. I'd get up and I would hunt from 6:30 to about 7:45.
You gotta be at work at 8.
I'd take all my clothes and everything with me. I'd pull in the parking lot of work, and basically I had my work clothes on underneath my bibs and my other stuff. You know, for rifle season, kind of a little easier to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I just strip off those clothes, walk on into work, and did that about every day of the week. And again, kept seeing decent deer. I was go ahead and I would leave work and I would make it out there, and
You would basically hunt 2 hours every day.
Yeah.
You'd make it
hour in the morning, hour in the afternoon.
And if that's what you got, that's what you got.
That's what I had. And I was only going to, like, my easiest accessible stand. A couple times I just sat on the ground against a tree and watched, you know. And that's one of the times I did see the deer I hit with my bow, is I sat in a spot you could only see, the only spot you can see, the corner of that field. And I end up ranging, it's about 360 yards away, I think. And that's when I seen him. Pretty confident the first time. So I kept doing that. There was one mature 8 point that I really contemplated. However, in the back of my mind, I'm stuck on one basically deer that I'm looking for. You know, there's that one and a couple others, and I hadn't even seen this 8 point before. The one that came by, and he was decent, but and then it kind of shut down. I'm seeing does and small bucks. I'm seeing a lot of does. And then I'm seeing 6 points. I'm seeing, you know, rag 8 points that are super young. I'm seeing four corns. Had a new deer show up. This thing, might as well call him Popcan, because it looks like Popcan's coming out of his head. Brow tines are probably 10, 11 inches tall. And then right where the rack should turn to go out to your main beams and G2s, he just has two little crab claws. And so he's literally only a 6 point. He's not legal to shoot. And I've seen him probably 4 or 5 times, binoculars, scope, everything. I mean, I'm trying to find a kicker.
Right. Where is that 1-inch point?
I'm trying to find a kicker on one side just to give me 4 points there. You know, I can't find it.
For the listener, our county still has the point restriction.
Right.
Because pretty sure not every county in Missouri has that.
Correct.
Yeah, I think
correct.
Like
ours does.
Yeah,
ours
I know does. Jackson County.
Jackson doesn't.
Don't.
Yeah. And I'm saying this deer's 4.5, 5.5. I mean, he's got that big, thick body, full chest. He's a mature deer, but he's not legal for us to shoot.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
We seem to have those around this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the spots I hunt. I even nicknamed one of them Evil Eddie.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he's just got, like, Satan's horns coming out of his head, and they're these giant.
And
what
that
do you call
might
them,
be one of the most mature deer I've seen in a long time. That deer has to be on. I mean,
he might even be on the downhill side of life.
Right.
But yeah, he's got these just two main beams.
Mm-hmm.
He technically is legal, I actually think, on one side because he has a 3-point side, and then he's probably got about a 2.5-inch kicker coming out of his base. You would just have to confirm it if you ever saw him. But right. It's just him. There's that one. There's another 6-pointer at that place I hunt that I can't shoot. That yep. is
he's
pretty large 6-pointer.
Long tines. Pretty
and
nice.
Then there was a 7 earlier in the summer that we haven't seen since probably August.
Yeah.
But that is probably legal as well. It's just it's so odd to see such a large deer with almost no points.
And no points. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But.
So yeah, that deer at least got your blood boiling a little bit, and then
it did. And then I calmed myself back down.
Mm-hmm.
There was one day this week after work that I took off to the deer stand, and
I know the story already.
I answered the phone, my cell phone. It was after work hours. I worked the full day. Took off. I was like, I should answer this. You know, I answered on the way there. Think it'd be a short conversation. No, it wasn't. The conversation went on. And it was one I really needed to take. As I'm sitting in my truck in the field, ready to walk in, a doe runs out in the middle of this field. Well, and here comes Pop Cans right out behind her, you know, just. And he's looks really nice from distance. So I'm sitting here, got this client on speakerphone, watching the deer through my binoculars. And, you know, so it, finally, you know, finished the conversation, got out, threw my bibs on, threw everything on. I take off. I get almost there, and I look, and I can see through a timber some does. It's like, crap, I start looking through binoculars. Don't see any bucks with them. It's okay, that's not the stand I want to get to. There's a specific place I wanted to go that night. Something told me, you got that intuition to go. So I turn, I take about 5 steps just so I can see over the crest of the hill and I can see antlers. I'm like, oh boy, I'm late. I'm too late. They're already in the field. And so I start looking and I can see 5 on one side of that one. And I'm like, okay, that one's nice. And so I have this stool that I was carrying. I get down, I lay out, I'm putting it on him. And about that time, here comes another one over the hill. I'm like, oh, that's him. And I am, in another case, I was 90% sure it was the deer that I had shot with my bow.
Right.
And so then after that point, everything was like, I gotta make this happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I have to make this happen. And right now we're pushing probably 400 yards out there at the moment. Well, I kind of started getting lines. I was like, man, I'm not comfortable shooting that far. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's out there moving around, and it's like, all right. So I start creeping. They have no clue. I had the wind. So mm-hmm. I start creeping along the edge of the timber, moving. Well, then they kind of stop, so I stop. Okay, so I range him again, and I'm within about 350. I'm like, okay, that's not bad. And he's standing there broadside, looking through binoculars. So I get down, lay out, put this gun across the bench, get a solid base. And I look through his scope. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not him. I look back up, look through my binoculars. Him and another buck have rotated. And there's another buck standing in front of him. So had I shot, I would have shot the wrong deer. It's like, gosh, dang. So there's not paying attention anymore. So I grab my stool and I start crawling. And I'm literally at this point almost belly crawling through corn stalks trying to get close enough. And now I range. I'm about 260 out. And he had separated from that buck. And I start getting ready. I'm like, all right, I know I can make this shot. So I'm starting ready to get on him. And about that time, a doe takes off running across the field. Well, here goes Pop Cans chasing her. And I'm like, oh, crap. Whatever. So I get back on. And I click the safety off. I'm looking at him. And here comes a doe past him. And what does he do? Right Bolts. After her.
He gimps his way with her.
I was that close. That close to making it happen. And, yeah, he trotted off into the timber. And that was the closest thing I've had so far this year, pulling the trigger on a mature deer.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, for the listeners, Andy, between the three of us, is probably one of the most positive of us. You know, I think I'm the one who's always, like, negative about things sometimes. And you are definitely struggling right now.
I'm not saying I'm the best deer hunter in the world.
No, I don't mean hunting. I mean,
oh no, I'm
mentally,
struggling.
You are definitely,
and it's got me in a bad mental spot.
Usually
I doubled 2 years ago. Me and Nate both did the same year. Before that, I mean, I pretty regularly feel like I can find a good buck. I didn't kill one last year. which I was after a specific deer last year, mm-hmm. and that was fine. This year, I had no specific deer starting out.
Right.
Surely, I can get a good buck. My brother-in-law has capitalized on his deer for Quest. There's deer out there on this property I'm hunting that I know if I get, it put us up there in the top 15, top 10. And here I am.
He is, don't throw something through my walls right now.
Here I am, just beat my head against the wall trying to find him, and it's just not working out.
Remember this, and every listener that hasn't harvested something yet, it is freaking November 22nd.
There's still a lot of time left.
If you are a bow hunter in our state, you have until January 15th.
That, and you got late season, you know, the alternative season.
Sure. And for you specifically, Andy, the farm you mainly hunt, you can get on them.
Oh, yeah, I know.
In a late season setting. You know, after this rut kind of starts slowing back down.
I just put a lot of pressure on myself already, and you shouldn't. Hunting's supposed to be fun, first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I've just hunted so much trying to make it happen. I almost say burned myself out because I will keep going.
And we all do that.
I have it in me. But what got me down a little more was yesterday morning.
Yeah, a little more.
I was about to go back, and I swear I was. This sounds like a made-up story. I was about to march back to the northeast corner. I carry my climber when I do that.
Right.
I hunt, I have a climber. I don't have a permanent stand back there right now. And it was the morning. I'm like, I don't feel like walking all the way back in there. It's probably a mile hike from where you have to park. So I picked a stand in the timber closer. About 8:30, bang, neighbor shoots. I know exactly where the neighbor's, you know, stand is, assuming he's in the one I'm thinking. And I kind of crap. So I send him a Facebook message. Hey, did you get one this morning? And a little time goes by. He sends me a picture, and it is the big one that I have on camera out there. And I'm not talking about the one that I shot with my bow. I'm talking about the biggest one in that 180
that you're aware of.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah,
the rut, like we talked about, shakes everything up. But congratulations to him. He's hunted there several years. He's actually on his grandpa's farm.
Stud of a deer.
Yeah, it's a monster.
Yeah, it was a stud.
I think it rough scored 173.
That's a deer.
And yeah. So I got some pretty good trail cam pictures of him. I sent the guy and said, hey, you know, if it was me, I'd like to have him. So I shared some cool trail cam pics with him, and congratulations to him. So,
and at the same time, you're inside dying a little.
Yeah, at the same time, that little bit of a hope goes away because I hadn't seen that deer yet. I hadn't even seen that one yet.
Right.
It's one of those
right.
ghosts
you just knew
that
he was
you know he's there, but you don't know when, where, if he will come out. And one of those, I guess, hope in the back of your mind that, hey, this deer hadn't been killed yet, because if it has been, you'd known about it type deal. You know, somebody would have said something. And they did. I've seen it.
Yeah.
But congratulations to
awesome
him.
Awesome deer.
And, well, I'm just going to keep beating that. Killed a coyote this morning. That was a positive.
Yeah. That's always fun.
Yep. Take those frustrations out on those guys.
Not every hunt's a, what is it? Not every coyote hunt's a deer hunt, but every deer hunt's a coyote.
Absolutely.
So,
I was talking to a guy up north. We were eating last night, and one of our old friends up there, we're going to go up there and do some coyote hunt with hounds. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Yep.
My neighbor actually has some, they're like world-class coyote dogs.
Really?
He goes down to competitions like Mississippi and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Does pretty well in them. So that's pretty cool to watch those dogs.
Yeah, see, I've never been a part of that. I've heard of it and mm-hmm. stuff, and it's pretty big up north.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a few guys that done it, but I've never seen it or done it, and so I'm really looking forward to that.
Nice. My dad used to have coyote dogs, actually.
Really?
Really.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad getting into my story now.
Yeah. Let's hear your story, Nathan.
I had my downer. Now the reason Nathan isn't his normal down self
if Nathan hasn't had success, because you've usually at least gotten something by now.
No, last year I didn't harvest anything.
Last year.
Now I did pass on. I was happy to have not harvested anything last year. Mostly because I had multiple opportunities. I just didn't take it.
Yeah.
And
wasn't the right one.
Before you get into it, I do want to throw a shout out to Pat.
Yeah.
Pat doubled
up. Our buddy Lucky Pat again.
Yeah, Lucky Pat.
Yeah.
What day was that?
It was middle of the week. It was,
oh, yeah. It was Thursday. What day was the day I went back to work.
Yeah.
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 This so, is a funny story. Yeah, tell that one.
Well, the bad part is the day before, the big one from that farm that he'd been chasing got hit by a car.
Yeah, that sucks.
Ended up scoring 164-ish, I think, is what mm-hmm. it was. So he's a little down about that, but he had just a limited amount of time to hunt. He was had something going on this weekend, couldn't hunt. So he ran out there that morning. And about 7:30, funny story is, my dad was out there servicing the combine, getting ready to shell beans, and seen this buck run over the hill. And he's like, oh, well, Pat, hope you're awake. And about that time, he shot. And so dad went down and helped him drag it out. But he had a nice seven-point run by him. Should have been an eight, but he has the brow tine. There's a
broke
hole
it clean off.
Where the brow yeah, tine should weird. Be. It's weird. Yeah. But super good deer, real good mass. And he made the best of his time and doubled up for the year. But
yeah, congrats. So yeah. Pat is tagged out also.
Lucky yep. Pat again. Yep.
Yep. He had to go to work. So he put the deer in the back of dad's truck, tagged and everything. And I had to be at work. He had to be at work. So we met up at lunch and got a deer, took care of it, and his wife took it to the locker for him.
Yep.
So it was kind of all hands on deck.
Yeah, it was one of them thing. Days like if you would have killed it Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Right.
I took Tuesday and Wednesday off of work last week to hunt.
Right.
And then I ended up killing it mine opening morning. And I just told my boss, I'm like, hey, I've been hunting a lot, so I'm just going to do some honeydews around the house. I painted my kid's room. So I just kept Tuesday and Wednesday off.
Kids around the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then went back to work Thursday. And, of course, Thursday's when Pat kills it. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, on my way to Branson for work. Dang it.
Yep.
I've been happy to help. I love going and dragging deer out and helping my buddies. And unfortunately, I was on the road that morning. But so, yeah, I mean that 6-day stretch that I had, going from Monday harvesting my archery buck to opening morning of the rifle season was probably the coolest, 6-day stretch I'll ever have hunting. That's never going to happen like that again, probably. I mean, it was just, kind of cool how everything played out, I guess. And, you know, these deer came off Grandpa's farm and I'm kind of excited about it. I guess I would just kind of get into the story on the rifle deer. So it's a pretty cool story. If people remember our last episode.
What day did you shoot your archery deer?
Archery deer would have been the Sunday before. Recovered him Monday morning.
Okay.
So that would have been, I don't know how you count days.
Monday, so rifle season started
Saturday.
Saturday. So you got a week there you didn't get to hunt.
Right. And just kind of, it's cool because we actually referenced Scorpion, mm-hmm. by the way, is his nickname for everybody that follows along with that. Micah's sitting here shaking his head.
Yeah.
I referenced him in that archery episode when he got up out of his bed and Russell and I both saw him walk west.
Yep.
And then he crossed the driveway and was chasing a doe. Mm-hmm. And he and Russell and I tried to make a move on him.
Chased him around for a little bit.
Yeah, that was... This is that deer. This is the big deer at the property that we were after. And we've known him for at least 2 years. I'm pretty sure a third year we've known this deer. So it's a deer that we were both kind of after. And it's cool because he showed back up on cameras just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just kind of like they do at this property. And so there's the story is really cool because it's just it's a crazy morning. I mean, from the second I got out there to the second I laid my hands on him, there was a nonstop action, whether it was deer related or not, the entire day. So I killed my archery buck,
mm-hmm.
and throughout the week had been talking to folks, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to take my bow now and take it hunting. And I believe Russell's exact words were to me, the hell you are. for people listening, so I've got my grandpa's gun that we've kind of been restoring a little bit this year. I've got a brand new nice Leopold scope on it. I changed the bolt on it. Russell and I still have plans to do other things. We just didn't get them done, changing the trigger out and things like that. And I've been kind of restoring grandpa's gun. Well, Russell's been doing a lot of that work basically for me and mm-hmm. with me. And so when I told him I thought about not taking the rifle, he's like, are you kidding me? No.
I've spent all this time.
So you're at least taking it opening day. So in my mind, I was going to take it opening weekend. And then if I didn't see anything or kill anything, maybe, you know, go back to my bow. So I took it opening morning. And the way our property that we hunt out there sets up is every rifle season turns into a chaotic craziness. When we boat.
Yeah, mainly because you got other hunters that come in.
Orange Army shows
up. When we bow hunt, nobody else is out there hunting at all in an entire area. When rifle season hits, there is multiple guys to our south, multiple guys to our east, multiple guys to our southeast. That's what it is. And I mean, there's literally a guy that sits 150 yards behind me on their property every year, and I can see him. You know, he sees me, which we'll get into. But so every year when I go out there, I make sure I'm sitting in my stand at a minimum an hour before first light so that they bump deer to me. Because they will walk in, and I'm not judging anybody. They usually walk in about 15 minutes after sunrise.
Right.
Not first light.
I think you've talked to these guys before, too, and they're not from around our area.
No, those guys you're talking about actually come up from southern Missouri, and they're on a different farm.
Oh, okay.
Farm to the west. But we actually didn't see them this year for some reason. Hmm. But, no, this guy I've never talked to, and, I mean, it seems, you know, he does – not like he's doing anything illegally. He just shows up at
– right.
You know, I think today or this on Sunday, he walked in at 7:20.
Yeah.
And whatever. I mean, there's a lot of folks that'll do that so that they can see as they're walking in instead of walking in the dark. And so that if they bump anything, they can potentially get a shot at it. So anyway, I'm in there an hour before first light. And the second I sit down, there are deer all around me. Can't tell what they are, obviously, in the dark.
You just see the bodies moving.
Oh, yeah. I know there was bucks coming cruising behind me. And it's just, I mean... The second I sit down, right at first light, this deer scorpion, I see him. I see a big buck, don't know, it was about 400 yards away, bedded in the middle of a bean field with what I thought was two does at the time. And I get my binos out, and I can see a large rack, don't know who it is for sure, but see him get up, and he chases one of the does into a patch of timber north of me. And basically, long story short, on that part, right at first light, I see that happen. I don't shoot him till almost 9:30. I essentially had my binos on that patch of timber for 3 hours at that point. Because I knew he chased her in there. And then what I ended up noticing was that second doe that I thought was a doe was actually a tiny little buck. And he would hang out in the bean field outside of that timber.
So you knew he was still there.
And I knew that the big guy was in there with her, probably breeding her and stuff like that. And that other one was trying to get a crack at it. So I basically...
Pervert.
kept my eyes...
Nate's a peeping Tom.
That's what I was doing. Kept my eyes on that timber. And the way the property set up, I was quite certain they were not going to exit that timber to the north. So I'm just like, man, if I can just be patient here... Whatever deer is in there, I can get a crack at.
Right.
You just got to wait them out.
Yeah, and I saw buck after buck after buck after buck walk. I had one buck walk right under me at one point in time, just tongue hanging out, panting, just. And I remember looking at him and going, buddy, and he was heading to the east and then south, and it looked like he was going to cross the creek, go to the property to our south. And I said, you better not cross that creek or you're going to die. And I hear him walk through the water. Cross the creek and kapow.
Bang.
And that guy shoots. And that deer is probably 60 yards to my southeast. And that guy is another probably 60 yards to that buck's south. So he shoots that deer. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, all this commotion. Not that the deer I wanted to shoot, but just a bunch of commotion. I was worried it was going to mess with what was happening in front of me. So I watched the guy get down, he guts the deer, leaves, goes and gets his four-wheeler and two buddies. They come back, making all kinds of racket. And at one point, I'm like, I'm going to get down. This sucks, right? But and this is all happening 60 yards just across the creek from me.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm sitting there going, you have been watching this timber. You can see the other buck just outside of it. You know he's in there with her. Be patient. Stay here.
Right, just wait it out.
And I let them do their thing. It took them a while to do what they were doing, and they finally got on their four-wheeler and left again. And so after they left, I gave it about half an hour to settle down, and thought, what can I do to maybe draw them out of here? So I let the loudest, I call it a roar, out that I could, just a nice deep grunt, you know, a kind of a challenging type of a roar, excuse me, towards that timber. And he came tearing out of that timber, straight towards me, looking for a fight. And we'll go back to something, by the way, that was really interesting that happened after the fact. But so he comes tearing out of there, gets to about 125 yards or so, and he finally stops. He was running, I mean, basically trotting towards me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He was pissed cool. off. Yeah. And I was kind of like, dude, stop running because I don't want you to go
okay.
too far.
It's okay.
And he finally stops 125-ish yards away from me and gives me a shot. So I settle everything down. For those listeners, by the way, the gun that I've been restoring of my grandpa's is a 300 Win Mag. So it's plenty large.
Heavy gun.
Yeah. For a deer. And I settled my crosshairs. And I felt very proficient with this gun. I mean, we've been shooting it, you know, getting it restored. Am I as proficient with a rifle as I am with my bow? Not a chance.
Right.
But I felt perfectly happy with this rifle. So settle my crosshairs and I give it to him and I watch him jump in the air, what looks like 30 feet. I mean, it looks like, you know, I thought, oh, I just blew him up.
Right.
And he lands after he kind of does that first jump and I'm like, all right, see ya, dude. You know, fall down any moment
gonna
now.
Do a circle and drop.
Yeah. And he stands there like a statue for 5 full minutes at least. And when he landed, he kind of landed. There was a tree in between himself and me where I could not get his vitals again. So I had to sit there and watch him.
Oh, man.
And I'm just like, why are you not falling down? I know I just smoked you. And he just stood there. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know. What do you do?
What do I do with my hands?
So he finally takes one or two small steps forward. And I'm like, all right, I got to do this again. I kind of rushed the second shot. I'm pretty sure after investigation, I don't think I hit him on that second shot. I'm pretty sure I also saw a little bit of dirt fly just in front of like his neck, you know, so behind him a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, no big deal. And just at that moment, a thought creeped in my mind. And this is a nice lesson learned for all of our listeners here. So my box of ammo, my gun holds 3 rounds. It's a bolt action 300 Win Mag. And my box of ammo the night before that I got out to put in my bag had 3 rounds left. I've got 80 rounds of this stuff. And so I just told myself, hey, in the morning I'll grab another few before I leave. Well, that was forgotten. So that did not happen.
Yeah.
In the morning.
I've had that happen.
Just at that moment, that thought hit me. Oh shit, you have one left.
Now, you obviously had your scope. Were you did you ever put binoculars on him and see if you could see you hit him before with your first shot?
Yeah, after the first shot, I put the binos up and because I could see him. I couldn't really see his vitals. It was essentially the tree was covering his vitals. And so I could see him sitting there and he was just standing there. And I couldn't really see the vitals, so I couldn't see if there was blood pouring out of him or what. And no, it just looked like he was like a zombie all of a sudden. Just in the middle of a cut bean field, just
stoned.
Yeah, the doe. So to go back, this is the weird thing I was telling you. When I roared, he came tearing out of that timber. She followed him. Hmm. Like one of those, not my man. You're talking smack to my man. Something like that, you know? It was the weirdest thing. Like because he ran 100 yards out of that timber straight towards me. And it's like, it's just kind of funny that she followed him.
Yeah.
And as soon as I shot him the first time, she bolted. And that little buck actually bolted with her and mounted her. Because she ran towards me and then mounted her. It was hilarious. He was trying to do his thing and it wasn't working really good for him. But it was just kind of funny.
He still watching.
He took the one chance he got and he just he took it. So anyway.
I get it.
That thought creeped in my mind. Oh, shit, I have one round left, but you've got to be – you've got to be dead here. He finally turns and makes this slow little walk down to the ditch that leads back up to this timber. And he gets to the edge of the ditch and stands there. And I'm like, you're going to get it a third time. I don't know what's going on here. So I line him up. I take my time. And the third shot, I watch it just smoke him right in the shoulder. And I see him. The only thing I can try to explain it like is a heavyweight boxer took a punch. Like, I see him take this round.
Right. Just the ripples go through the skin.
I see him, like, take the punch, and then he just bounces right back and stands there again. And I'm just like, what is going on? And right about 10 seconds after the round hits him, I see him, what I thought was jump into the ditch. Coming back, we'll go back to that. But what I saw was him jump into that ditch. And so I'm like, great. I think now he's going to bed somewhere, and I'm out of ammo. This is like, oh no, this is my worst nightmare coming to play. Because when he came out the second time, I knew it was this buck we nicknamed Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
Been after him all summer, or not all summer, all season. And so my brother-in-law, Russell, who's been on the show before, wasn't feeling very good Saturday, so he actually didn't go hunting. Usually we go together opening morning.
Right. It wasn't the vid, just a little cold.
Yep. So, yeah, he was just feeling bad. So I felt like crap, but I ended up calling him. I'm like, you've got to get here now. I'm out of ammo. You need to bring me some. He's like, what happened? I'm like, I just shot him. I'm pretty sure he just jumped down to the ditch, and I don't think he's dead. I don't know what's happening. I hit him. At this point, I knew I hit him twice, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I watched the third shot hit him in the shoulder. Dude, I don't know what's up. He's like, okay. So he drives out and walks to me and gets me some ammo. And long story short, I get down, you know, load back up, and I walk the ditch towards the deer.
Mm-hmm.
What ended up happening was what I thought was him jumping down into the ditch was him falling down into the ditch dead.
Nice.
Just didn't notice it. So when I got up to where that happened, there he was at the bottom. Right. Of course, he jumped 14 feet straight down. So now I had to drag him straight up. But
oh, geez. I bet that was fun. I bet Russell was really happy with you.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
Out of ammo.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. It was just it was one of those events that the nervousness never really hit me because I had been in this waiting game with him for 3 hours.
Right.
I didn't know it was him the entire time, but if you see a buck from 400 yards away at first light and you don't really have that much light to know who it is, and all you can tell is it's a large buck, it's a shooter no matter what.
Right.
I mean, that's a big deer. Mm-hmm. So, I knew it was a big deer. Then when he came running out of that timber, I knew it was him.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one of them deals where patience really paid off. I mean, there was a couple times I contemplated getting down and trying to get around the cornfield and see if
I could
a
little sneak see attack down or
into
something.
It from the top. And I thought, no, he's going to come out. He's got two options. He can go north, and for multiple reasons, I didn't think he was going to. Number one, there's nothing north for them really, and the wind was coming out of the south, so he would have been walking with the wind to his back this time of year. Sometimes they throw caution to the wind, sure. Right. But I just had that feeling that if that doe was going to come out of there,
she would come south.
Now, I will say, reading like body language is a good good thing here. The after I shot him and I saw him, what I thought was jump down to that ditch, I had my binos once again on the timber, and I saw that doe come back out of it and the small buck follow her.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw him. So I was positive that he was there.
Right.
Whether he was just bedded or what, you didn't know. Right. But obviously, he died.
That's because he was dead. But it's one of them deals where I was just, you stay, even with the guy shooting behind me and all this craziness going on.
Right.
Just
stuck to it.
Stick to it. He's right. He's there. You know, be patient. And this is where, I mean, luck always plays into hunting sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every harvest you get, you got lucky somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
That deer, Scorpion, 6 days before, we watched him get up out of his bed and walk west on the property to my south. He bedded not probably 10 yards from where that guy's stand was
mm-hmm.
a week before that. All it took was him with that doe 60, 80 yards further south, and now he's not on that property anymore. You know, right. So sometimes the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while.
Blind squirrel finds nut.
Yeah. And that's what happened in this situation. He was luckily with her on my side, which is where rifle season always freaks me out from that standpoint. Right.
Right. Because you never know. I mean, it's a good thing and the bad thing, because if you don't have a potential shooter on your farm that you know of, there's a potential of something coming in there and moving into that area. So. Yeah.
And I know with bow season, that deer getting up on the neighboring property is not going to affect anything.
Right.
Because there's nobody there hunting. But it's crazy that day, the Lord blessed me a little bit, I guess you'd call it, by putting him on our side and then chasing her into our timber and staying in there and just giving me the chance to be patient. Yep. So, really excited about him. He's the biggest deer I've shot.
What did he end up scoring?
I rough scored him in the back of a truck with trophy tape, which is kind of cool, but sometimes it's not the easiest thing. He'll be somewhere around 155 to 160. So
that's
he's
good
a
deer.
It's a good deer. And we know he's a minimum of,
for sure, what, 5.5?
I'd say he's 5.5, just because we've got at least 2 years with him, and the first year with him, 95% sure that's him. So that would put him at 3.5.
By the time you probably notice him, he's 2.5. Then 2 years ago,
yeah. So, well, and I would say the first year we have him, he was most likely 3.5 with a decent rack,
right?
Which could have been a really solid 2.5 year old. You just don't know.
Yeah.
But great deer. What was really cool about that day too is my other brother-in-law Grant went hunting and killed one like 20 minutes before I shot him on a property. What do you think? 20 minutes away, east of us.
Yeah.
And so after I made that third shot, got a hold of Russell. Also got a hold of Grant. Grant had already texted me that he killed one.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant hunts with a lever action open sights 30-30.
Oh, really?
Which is really cool.
Old school.
Yeah.
I like it.
And so he had just got his deer loaded up.
Sorry, you said lever action.
I know. That kind of threw me off.
Yeah.
It's not lever.
Lever?
Lever.
Lever.
Sorry.
Them lever actions.
And
your lever here.
He had just loaded his deer. What? Oh, my God.
Anyways,
he had just loaded his deer, and I'm like, hey, if you don't mind, because he'd be driving home right by the farm I'm on. If you don't mind, will you stop at the top of the lake, and when I start walking the ditch to see if he's in there, if I happen to bump him, at least you can be up top and not block him. He's not going to be able to do anything.
Right, but I mean,
but at least let me know, hey, he just took off.
Right.
And at least I would know. So Grant sat up in this truck with his son, and his son went with him and got to watch his dad kill a deer, which is cool.
Awesome.
Yep.
His son's only 6 years. And then after I recovered him, Grant came down and we pulled his deer out, and we took pictures together and all mm-hmm. that cool stuff. It's just kind of an extra cool story.
Yeah, adds to all the experience.
To the experience. And, you know, once again, Russell coming through, not feeling good, coming out and bringing me ammo. That is definitely a lesson learned, by the way.
Be a better shot.
I was going to say,
let's get better that, the first by the way. Time. Let's go back to that.
Says me.
Yeah.
So, second shot, like I said, I'm pretty sure I missed.
Yeah.
The first shot, I hit him almost, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how he didn't fall over dead right there. He was quartered to me a little bit on the first shot, so it exited a little further back, but the entrance was
perfect.
Perfect. And it was on the opposite side as the third shot. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, the third shot, I could see where the entrance mm-hmm. was for the first shot and the third, if that makes sense. So the third shot, once I start, taking them apart and gutting them and stuff, there was almost nothing left of his heart. So how he took that and then just stood there like a stud is beyond me.
Yeah.
That third shot entered right through the shoulder and right through the heart. And so it's just amazing how tough these animals are when they're full of testosterone and then, of course, what they already are.
Right.
Now, I will say he took the shot, stood there for 10 seconds, fell over dead.
Right.
But how did he not just fall over right there is beyond me. I mean, he was doing everything he could to stay alive.
Yeah.
I think one of our listeners might have even said something about a death march that sometimes they go on where he didn't move more than from the first shot to the third shot or from where he died. He might have walked a total of 30 yards, tops.
I think that death march they're talking about whenever I hit my deer, and if I got one lung, they go on like this 3-mile, a single lung deer can go on like a 3-mile death march and just go. I mean, they don't stop. They just keep running and running and running for like 3 miles and then fall over dead.
So maybe he went into this death standstill where he just stood there for 5 minutes and then if I'd have just let him stand there, he would have fell over dead right there.
I'm guessing he probably hit lungs, and like we were talking about, that they had to fill up, you know. So you're sitting there literally, it sounds bad, but you're drowning right in front of me.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And, I mean, you did the right thing by shooting again. I mean, if I have a second shot at something, I'm going to take the second shot.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, even if I know that first one's a good one, you know, I'm still going to take that second shot just to get it
quick
as
possible.
Yeah,
it's just funny how that right in between that second and third shot that it hit me like a ton of bricks.
you don't have
any more. It's just kind of one of them deals where we've all done it. So when I got to the stand and sat down, I knew I only had 3 rounds, but I'm like, but whoop-de-doo.
Plenty.
You forgot the rest. I mean, a lot of people will put, you know, a couple rounds in their bag or whatever.
That's what I do. I have 2 in my pocket.
Sure. And like I said, I was going to. It just slipped my mind that morning trying to get out of there. And then, you know, I thought came back to bite me after that third shot. So that was when I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? But it's pretty cool. Opening morning of rifle season. And like so after 9:30, I was done again. And
yeah, I got that text. The farm I was at, service is spotty, and we were down the bottom or whatever, and we were driving up the hill, and I get that ding. I'm like, that son of a bitch. That's awesome. So
yeah, and what's great about that place is, if you listen to our last episode, all of these deer had returned within the last, I'd say sometime around October 25th, these bucks showed back up.
And they're gone for months. A month, probably.
At least a month, 6 weeks. You know, they kind of do whatever they do. And they had all started showing back up around the 25th. And then he had pretty much been there every... I mean, we've got cameras all over this farm, but you still never know for sure. He had pretty much been there every other day. From the 25th to the 14th.
Yep.
And so I had this feeling that he was there. And I remember asking you the night before about where I should go, because the other place I hunt, you know, I hadn't been back there since I'd killed my archery deer, and I hadn't hunted there in a while. So there was a lot of question on, you know, where I should try out. And it's just really cool. In 1 year, and I know you guys are a little bit struggling with the bucks at least, but you both taken a dose, so there's not, I mean, that's awesome. But in 1 year, I was able to kill my first archery deer off of Grandpa's and my first deer off of Grandpa's. And then a deer that I had been after, you know, I'd actively
target
known.
Buck.
My archery buck, the first time he ever showed up on that property was October 26th, ever. Russell and I had never seen him on that property. So that was really cool because it was my first archery kill. At that property.
Right.
And then the rifle one was the first buck that the second buck I've really been after more than, you know, a year. And then, you know, to add icing on the cake, it's my largest buck to date now.
Yeah.
It's just really cool that it happened at Grandpa's and
with your grandpa's restored gun.
Well, it's a different grandfather, but
well, still a
grandpa. Yeah, my grandfather. I call it Grandpa's. It's actually my wife's family.
Right.
But I mean, hell, at this
family
point, I've been with her for 20 some years. So, yeah, with my grandpa's restored gun. So I'm really glad Russell basically told me, the hell, you're not taking your bow. You're going to at least take that rifle. I feel like I might have been able to get a shot at him with my bow had I been in our stand on that side. Had I had a bow, I might have moved to a different stand. Mm-hmm. And he was moving that direction when I drew him out of that timber. But who knows? I mean, it's right. The rut, man. If that doe maybe would have taken off north, he might have taken off with her at that point.
Never know.
Oh, yeah. I definitely would have.
He was swiftly moving towards that stand. And had I had my bow, I might have got a shot there too. But
hindsight's 20/20.
Oh, yeah. I don't care. No, I really don't care. I mean,
he's in the freezer, so.
That's right.
I busted out, you know, maybe, like I said, once a year. This year, this gun was, like I said, worked on. I mean, I think I put a, if my wife is listening to this, sorry, babe, I think $1,000 scope on it at least. I mean, I've spent some money restoring this thing. And
right.
I think even next year I might look at a new stock. Just depends on what Russell and I can kind of do on that. But
yeah.
And a new trigger. Was going to do that this year, just kind of ran out of time. I don't spend all my time on rifles just like you guys.
Right.
I spent more time on a rifle this year than have in probably the last 10. But that's where you kind of feel good. You know, it's like, hey, you've worked on it. You know, most everybody hopefully listening at least shoots a rifle before they go rifle hunting.
Right.
But, you know, it was dialed in this year for more than any other year it would have been. So I felt good about it, which is kind of what's kind of pisses me off about him not dying right there on the first shot, but
it is what it
he would have, I think.
Tough just, animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's crazy how tough they are. So.
For sure. So you're tagged out this year. So you're done.
I'm done.
You're going to be able to get the last, well, we got 2 days left?
We got 2 days left. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to stress about it too much.
Right.
But I'll probably slip out there either tomorrow night or Tuesday night.
Yeah, see if you can get something done. I probably won't be able to do any more rifle this year, yeah. But and it'll be limited as far as my archery season. They'll be able to go on the weekends here and there.
Right.
And stuff. So we'll just see how it goes. Yeah. But then we get into, we'll start our predator hunting. So I'm looking forward to that.
Especially with the new laws that are going to be passed, or yeah. That are passed, that are going to start in Missouri.
Right.
We're actually going to have an episode, by the way, on that at some point for everybody about the new new laws in the state of Missouri with predator hunting, and we're excited about that. We'll have a couple people on with MDC
mm-hmm.
Talk about that. And there's some really cool tournaments in our area.
Yeah, that we'll usually do every year, so hopefully yeah. We'll be able to do them again.
Yeah, I was just talking to our friends at Movets Outdoors at the processor last week. They're going to have another one this year, and I think if they're going to call it Corona 2.0 or something like that. Because their tournament, if you remember, we didn't go to it.
Yeah, because of
Corona. Because it yeah. just, like, stuff just started shutting down, and I remember our wives yeah. being like, "That's no, yeah. you're not doing that."
Right,
yeah.
So I think they're nicknaming it something funny like that
good.
For this year. So we're going to hopefully do that, and good luck to all of our listeners the rest of the season. We are recording this on what day? November 22nd.
Yep.
There is almost 2 full months left of hunting. Did I do that right? November, December. Yeah.
And almost. Deer hunting.
Of deer hunting. So
duck season's now open, I think. I'm not a duck hunter, but I'm pretty sure I hear shotguns all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Russell's been out. Grant's been out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So no need to start pressing. I mean, this season's really just getting going.
You still got time. You still got late season. Late season's always a good one if you can get on some food. So
I think the reason people press so much right about now, and I'm looking at Andy and mm-hmm. he's smirking at me, but it's not just you. You get on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, and you are just flooded.
I don't know. Missouri's got some giants falling this year, I feel like.
I know. Oh, no doubt.
It just seems like everybody's killing studs.
I think it did. I think the rut was timed perfectly.
Yep.
With rifle season, there's some great bow kills last week of bow season. There's been some monsters killed in Missouri.
Yeah. But you get on these social media platforms, and you see all these big deer going down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some people start pressing because they're like, all right, I saw this guy, I saw this person. Everybody's getting something. Why not me? Why not me?
Right.
Well, it is what it is. I mean,
yeah, whether it's just
sometimes
not the right time or whatever. You know, it still can happen. You still have time, so make sure you guys.
The rut's still going on right now.
Right, we'll have that second rut usually.
We'll have the and then the you hardcore bow hunters, stuff starts getting a little more normal again. And late season, a lot of people put down good deer at late season.
Yep.
You know, tactics go a little back more to normal for you bow hunters out there after this rut kind of subsides, and you can start, you know, trying not to just hold on, I guess, when the rut hits and just all hell breaks loose. But there's a lot of really cool things that happen during the rut, and there's a lot of things that are crazy during the rut. But that's what's so fun about it, I think. It's just different. It's different than early season. It's different than the pre-rut. It's different than everything. It's when the big fellas can hit the ground, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We're excited. So, good luck, everybody. You guys got anything else?
No.
That's it.
No.
Looking forward to our next episodes coming up. We got some good ones. And make sure you guys like and subscribe. And
stay tuned.
We'll stay tuned. We'll talk to y'all later.
See you.